We're going to turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13, starting in verse 53 and going to verse 58. And then also we will be looking at 2 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 12. A little different atmosphere this Wednesday night than last Wednesday night. But I tell you what, I've got the same God that's here tonight that it was here last Wednesday night during revival. Amen. And the same power of the moving of the Holy Ghost is still there moving as well. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53, starting there. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come unto his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. You know, people can get offended if they think you're smarter than they are, or that you should know what you know. Amen? Just a thought. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Verse 58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their what? Unbelief. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Okay. Let me teach you for a little while tonight about the limitations of God. The limitations of God. Now, last Sunday, we started the service out by agreeing together, getting together two or three, holding hands on whatever you had need of, praying that God would meet those needs. If the Bible says if two or three agree, then I believe that that word is true. For I also believe that it's impossible for God to lie. Amen. And so consequently, we can agree together. We can hold hands. We can believe God that God will do it. At the same time, there is limitations of what God will do. But before I begin this study tonight about limitations, let me tell you at the outset, I believe with all my heart that we are serving a God with absolute limitless power. Absolute limitless power. I believe there's no disease that he cannot heal. There's no loss that he cannot recover. There is no soul that he cannot save. There is no sin that he cannot forgive. No heartache that he cannot make bearable. No family that he cannot put back together. There's nothing that God cannot do. In fact, there has never been an experience in the life of anybody, never been a burden, never a sorrow, never a loss, never a pain, never a disappointment that God is not sufficient to take care of. Got to get an amen on that tonight. In fact, Can I tell you, God is able to go beyond our experiences. In other words, He can go beyond what you know right now that He can do. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's our God. That's the God that I believe in and have faith in tonight. Through close to 45 years of ministry, I've seen a lot of things that God has done that has astounded me, that has astounded other people as well. Things unexpectedly, things that I wasn't believing for, that yet God knows your heart. He knows the very intent of your spirit. And consequently, He can give to you what you have not even asked for, but you can think about it. Amen? You may not have vocally asked God for that, but you've thought about it. You've thought about it in your prayer, in your mind, in meditation with God. We can take comfort in the fact that God cannot fail. God will never fail you one time. Your God cannot fail. It's impossible for God to fail. Your dearest companions may fail you. Your family may fail you. Your friends may fail you, but God cannot fail you. God can never let you down. I will say it again, God can never let you down. I let myself down. I listen to my own thoughts. I look at the things around me and they can get me down. But God will never let you down, never fail you at all. Now, if that's not enough, Jesus made it, I think, abundantly clear. When He said all power, not some of the power, not part of the power, not a little bit of the power, but all power is His. You believe that tonight? Yeah. All power is His, both in heaven and in the earth. Our God can do anything. If you have a need, our God is able to take care of that need. Absolutely. If you're hurting or searching, God is always your answer. There is nothing that He cannot do. However, let me throw in a however there. There are limitations to what God can do. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, there are boundaries that God cannot cross. It sounds a little strange to say that we serve a God of limitless power, and yet at the same time that we serve a God whose abilities are limited. That's kind of strange, isn't it? It seems contradiction to speak of God, who is almighty, who's all-powerful, yet who has boundaries that He may not cross. But it's true. How do you know it's true, Pastor? Because it's in the Bible. It's important, I think, for us to understand those divine limitations. Because for us to understand His limitations is to better understand exactly what God is able to do. It is as important to know what God cannot do as it is to know what God can do. What is it then that can set a limit on God? What can prescribe a boundary and say to Him, you may not pass? What is it so powerful that it can limit the unlimited power of God? What is it? There are possibly, if I have time tonight, share with you three types of things or categories of things that can and do limit God. Number one is that God is limited by His own nature. His own nature. The very fact that God is God prescribes some boundaries that He cannot cross. What I'm saying tonight is, if the nature of God is as we have been given to understand from His Word, and it is, then because of His very nature, there are some things that God cannot do.
First of all, God cannot fail.
Can I get amen on that?
By his very nature, he cannot fail. It's impossible for God to fail. Everything else may fail. Heaven may pass away, rolled like a scroll, but the earth may be dissolved, destroyed by fire, but God can never fail. God will still be God. And he can never be anything else. He cannot fail. So it's just logical, if God has all power, if he can do anything, then there is no situation too much for him to handle. And sometimes I have to remind myself of that. Sometimes you have to remind yourself of that. If you serve an all-powerful God, that there is nothing that he can do to fail. If he can do anything, then there is no situation too much, too big, too great for him. God has never been defeated. I can't find one place in the Bible he's ever been defeated. He's never been caught short. He's never been outmaneuvered. He's never been outsmarted. He is triumphant in every situation. Now, some people try to outsmart him. You cannot outthink God. You cannot outmaneuver God. You cannot outposition yourself. You can't think, well, I can do this. Maybe God won't notice. I got news. He does. He knows everything about you. The number of heads, the number of hair that's in your head, amen. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. This is why the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? You believe that tonight?
Amen.
If God be for you, then who can be against you? I have to admit to you tonight that I'm a little tired of all of the aggrandizement that goes on about the devil. I'm tired of all the aggrandizement that he's getting, has gotten. Amen? Got you scared now. You're afraid to say amen. Aren't you tired of the aggrandizement, devil? Yeah. He gets more credit than he deserves. Aggrandizements that goes on about the devil. And sometimes he gets a lot of the praise. And among the children of God, he gets some kind of praise sometimes. He is nothing compared to Jesus. Jesus has all power. The devil has no power compared to Jesus. He has to submit himself to the name of Jesus. Amen? He has no knowledge compared to my Jesus. The devil is not the opposite of God. I think we need to understand that. Come on, church. The devil is not the opposite of God. If he was the opposite of God, he would be equal in a different direction. He would be equally powerful in evil as God is in righteousness. He would be equally powerful in wrong as God is in right, if he is equal with God. The devil is not opposite of God. He's not even in the same league. Oh, by the way, I think it was God that created him. The devil didn't create God. God created. That's why you have the power over him. Because God has given you his name as authority over the devil. You cast out devils in that name. Lay hands on the sick in that. Do you realize how much power you wield? Stop grandizing the devil. Oh, I feel a sense of fear. Some of you are feeling a little bit of fear. If I say anything about the devil, he may jump all over me. Or he may bug me. Or he may chase me. This one lady got him testified. I understood it was a lady. It could have been a man. Testimony service one night, got him and said, oh, praise God, the devil's been chasing me all day. Well, stop. Turn around and say to that devil, stop chasing me. Do you lay hands on your children before you send them out to school or ever have in the name of Jesus, bleed the blood of Jesus Christ on their lives? Yes. Why do you do that? Because you have faith in the power and the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The devil is not opposite of God. He hasn't the majesty, the might, the glory. He doesn't have the awesomeness of God. The Bible tells us greater is he, God, that is in you than he that is in the world. That means that there is nobody like God. Nobody like God. He has no enemy that can prosper against him. He has no weapon formed against him that can stand. My God never fails. He can't fail. In fact, you can trust him. The second part of that is, second aspect of God's nature that limits him is that God cannot make a mistake. If God knows the end from the beginning, think about that. If he knows the ending from the beginning, if there is nothing hidden from him, even the secret motives of a heart, if he sees all things and he knows all things, then nothing can sneak upon God. Right. Nothing can blindside God. He saw it coming before it ever got there. Amen? God doesn't say, oops. Write that down somewhere. You need to remember that God cannot say, oops. He cannot. It's impossible for God to say that. He doesn't say, I wish I could do that again. Kind of messed that one up. Not my God. When he looks it all over, it is finished. When he was on the cross of Calvary, he didn't go, oops, I messed that one up. I'm hanging on a wooden beam here. He said, it is finished. I've finished this thing. I've obeyed what my Father asked me to do. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. There had to be a sacrifice for the sins of humanity. Living for God is the only thing that pays off. It's the right choice, the smart choice, the only choice. You can trust God with your life. You can let go of your life and turn it over to him. And let me tell you what, you'll be safe when you do that. You can commit it unto his hands. God never makes a mistake. You don't have to try to figure it out. You don't have to try to force it. A lot of times we do that, don't we? We try to take it back into our hands and make it happen. God will use you, but you cannot force it or make it happen. You got to let go and let God have your life. Come on, church. You got to let go and let God have revival. You got to let go and let God use you. You got to let go and let God flow through you. How to receive the Holy Ghost? You yield to him. What do we say to people who are seeking the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost? Just yield to him. Just what we're saying is let God flow into you and let him flow out of you. John chapter 7, it's going to flow into you and flow out of you like a river. The Spirit of God. How does that happen? Well, you got to open up your mouth. You got to release it. You got to let God use that tongue and flow through you. Amen? Amen? You can't keep your mouth shut and your teeth real tight and say, I want the Holy Ghost. Not going to happen. You got to turn loose and let God have his way. Why? Because God will do it right by you. And if God will do right by you, he'll take care of you. God will see you through no matter how bad your situation looks. Just hang in there. I had someone got very angry with me one time, and a long time after I said it, reminded me that I said it to him, and they was a little bit upset. They had a problem, and I told them, tie a knot on the end of it and hang on tight. They thought that was kind of bad advice. Well, let me tell you something, dear child of God. You better hang on tight. And you better have something you've got to grasp a hold of. A slippery rope will come right
through your hands. But if you tie a knot on the end of that rope and hang on to that knot, come on, you're not going to slip loose and fall. Then after evaluating what they said, they had to agree. You got to hang on to something. You got to hang on to something that's worthwhile. Amen?
Amen?
God never makes a mistake. You may not be able to see the sun come up because it's dark clouds, but stay in there and dawn will come because God cannot make a mistake. The sun will always come up. Sun will always set. God put it in motion. God cannot fail or make a mistake. Now, God is not the only thing limited by His nature. God has limited Himself by His Word. By His Word. He has bound Himself by it, and He cannot break His Word. One of the self-imposed limitations is found in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that He should lie. God can't lie. I don't want to get into a theological debate about whether God could lie. I don't think it would be to any good service or any good purpose. But He created angels who have free will. He created man who has free will. I cannot imagine that God, who can give free will, does not possess free will. He possesses free will and He gave you free will. But God's bound by His Word. He cannot lie. Amen? If Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, then you don't have to worry about what is going to happen to the church. Why? Because the church is going to be all right. Because God said that it's not only going to be all right and survive, but it's going to overcome the gates of hell itself. While some are forsaking the church and their commitment to the church, the body of Christ, others are holding to it. Let me ask you a question. Who is going to be more solid, those who commit themselves to it or those who plays around with it? Those who commit themselves to it. Why? Because if you're not careful, as you're out here dancing around it, you could lose your way. While you're out here dancing around it, you could lose your way. You can decide, I'm coming to the church and not coming to the church. I'm going to do this, not do that. Be involved, not going to be involved. But if you build your house upon the rock, when the rains come, what's going to happen? The rock is going to uphold the house. Amen? So why are you teaching that way, Pastor? Because you need to understand that you serve a God that cannot fail, and it's bound by His Word. Will the church be full? I believe it will be. You can't convince me because those empty seats that the church won't be full. You can't convince me of that. Amen? Why don't you give up? You're talking foolish. Why give up on God? Why give up on God? Why give up on your prayer? Why give up on your vision? Why give up on your dream? He's bound by His Word. Come on. Come on. The gates of hell shall not prevail. If there be any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church, and they shall remain sick. Oh. What does it say? If there be any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church,
and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. What name is that? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. You can believe it. God cannot lie. So is it sometimes we put the limitations on God, or is it God putting the limitations on us? Sometimes we put the limitations on God. I'm not worthy. I got mad at the driver in front of me this morning on the way to church. So I can't come and get prayed for because... Come on. Do you realize right where you're sitting in the pew on Sunday morning, you can say, God, forgive me. Get up and come get prayed for. How long does it take God to forgive you if you're sincere? Now, if you're just playing with God, it won't work. Come on. We set limitations on God. We limit him. We stop him. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter, what was we on? Chapter what? Was it 13? Give me the next verse. Okay, now notice what happens here. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished. And said, whence had this man this wisdom? Now they knew him as a little boy. They knew him in that village. He run around and probably was old enough to help carry his daddy's carpenter tool kit. We know Jesus. We know this young boy. They were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom? In other words, we've known him as a little boy. You see what's beginning to happen here? Doubt is beginning to form in the minds of that people. Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? The next one, please. 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Here is this big thing of doubt. Why is that brother doing it? Why is that sister doing it? What? You realize God will save anybody that desires to be saved? You realize that God will forgive those who ask his forgiveness? Some of the biggest revivals churches ever had was, now you pardon me, Joe, I'm going to use this name here. Big old mean Joe came to church. Everybody knew that big old mean Joe was big and mean, and he was nasty, and he was a bully and all that stuff. And then they hear that Joe went to church and got saved. Now, how can that happen? Big old mean bully Joe got saved. Now, let me tell you what the good doubt is. There's bad doubt and good doubt. The good doubt is, let's go see what happened to Joe. Let's go down to that Pentecostal church and let's see what happened to Joe. One of our renowned United Pentecostal Church ministers, he had preached here a few years ago. Man full of wisdom, full of insight. He said to me one day when he was here preaching, in fact, as presbyter of section one, we had a minister's gathering here and he was teaching and so forth, but we had a little time recess and was eating some fish out here. And I asked him, I said, why is it that we've got great churches, stained glass windows, great choirs, awesome music? Why are we just scratching the surface of reaching people? J.T. Pugh kind of, as he normally does, kind of coughed a couple times. He said, we haven't left the Reformation yet.
We haven't left the Reformation yet. Yeah. We're still tied to the aspect of coming out of the Catholic Church when Luther was expelled and the Reformation began to take place. We have formulated that setting of the church structure out of those days. And he was simply saying that inside of the building of the four walls, and we have a pulpit, etc., and that Reformation came out of the Catholic Church, set up the same structure that they were familiar with. You see, that first century church was house to house. That first century church, second century church, third century church, all of them was open. You can't turn a city upside down inside of a building. Come on. So he said to me, Brother Cox, I tell you what I do. So let me tell you what we did. And he had a church in Texas. So we went down and we bought a building. We didn't tell anybody that that building was associated with our church. We didn't want anybody to know that we had anything to do with it. But every Friday night, Saturday, we had a gospel scene going on. And we invite the whole community, Church of Christ, Baptist, Methodist, whatever. Come bring a group, gospel scene. People would come and we'd have gospel music and singing. And, I forget the man's name. He's a fighter, boxing guy. He made a grill. Foreman, George Foreman. Okay, anybody familiar with that name, George Foreman? George Foreman came. He was in town. Came to a gospel scene. He said that become a conduit to the church. Why? You see, they used to say, in the history of the Pentecostal movement, and Brother Pugh would testify to that as well, him of those era and that time, a church, an apostolic Pentecostal church, have revival, and they invite every church in the city to come join them in the revival. When it comes time for altar call, they invite people down to the altar. And they invite everybody to come and pray with those that want a touch of God. Guess what would happen? He said, Baptists receiving the Holy Ghost, Church of Christ receiving the Holy Ghost, Methodists receiving the Holy Ghost. Say, I don't care what your persuasion is, when you get close to the presence of God and the power of God, you can't help but respond to it. Jesus wasn't afraid of what they said. Well, he eats with publicans and sinners. He didn't care. He went to a Republican's house. I went to a publican's house. Probably went to Democrats too. How did I get off in here? Oh, the church built upon the rock. What is the rock? It's not Peter. It's the revelation that Peter had who Jesus was. If you have a revelation of the Godhead, of who Jesus Christ is, that's the rock, and the gates of hell cannot come against that. Come on. The church is going to be all right because God said it was going to be okay. When Peter said, if you will repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the word of God, and God cannot lie. Amen? Amen. When he says that he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, in your loneliest day, in your darkest hour,
Keep looking for Him because He's going to be there somewhere, because God cannot lie. And oh, by the way, George Foreman was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. If He said that one of these days we're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. And He said, not a cup of cold water given in my name will lose its reward. And if He said, when I come again, the dead in Christ shall rise, and those that are alive remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, then you can believe it, because God said it, because God cannot lie. Closely related to that is another way that God is bound by Himself. I'm going to close with this tonight. And it's this: God is fair. God is fair. Abraham, in talking with God about the fate of a doomed city of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 25, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and the righteous shall be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Don't I know who's right and who's wrong? Am I going to be fair in this whole thing? God is going to do right by you. If you give a cup of cold water in His name, you're going to get a reward. I've learned a little something about keeping books, but we don't keep books anything like God keeps books. He's the best bookkeeper. Every kind deed, no matter how unrecognized, unrewarded it is in this life, there's a record in heaven. There's a record in heaven. And God keeps good books. And one of these days, the audit is going to be taking place, and He will open these books. And although it looks like the world rewards the wicked, God will reward the righteous. We may be overlooked and forgotten down on this earth, but one day we will return with Him mounted on white horses. Can you even imagine that? Can you even imagine that? If you're waiting for the world to pat you on the back because you go to church, because you pay your tithes, and you dress modest, you don't lie, cheat, steal, because you don't have an affair outside your marriage, you don't shoot up on drugs, you can't do anything right. I got news for you. It's that crown that's more valuable than the pat on the back. It's that white robe that God is going to be fair about. Come on. Psalm 73, verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. This world has got an end. But so does the church. So does the faithful. I saw when the books were audited. I saw when the books were balanced. I saw that it would be better to be on God's side when the end comes. I got word for somebody who's watching by streaming tonight or here in the sanctuary. Hang in there. Keep on receiving the teaching of the Word of God. Stay with the program. Don't give up. There's coming a day, and God will be fair.
Saint of God, I want you to know, God wants you to know, God will be fair. But God is not limited by His nature and by His word. But you and I have the ability to limit God. How do I limit God? How do you limit God? How does anybody limit God? It's with the flesh. It's incomprehensible that mere human flesh can put limits on the power of God. Human flesh. And there's so many ways that we can restrict or shut off the move of God's Spirit in our lives. We hold in our own hearts the ability to receive or reject, and we can limit God. One of the ways that we limit God is when we do not believe. No miracle could be done in that city that Jesus was raised in. I think we have to allow ourselves, church, body of Christ, if the church is going to advance, if it's going to bloom and grow, we have to allow God to use all of us in the body of Christ. Amen? I mean, if Peter could deny the Lord three times, curse, swear, they never even knew him, and then his heart is smitten in the nighttime weeping, how many times have you made a mistake with God and you were weeping in the nighttime, so to speak? Or the mistakes, or the words you said, or the actions that you did. Somewhere in the hollow of the nighttime. You cannot limit God to forgive. Dark may be the night. Echoing through the halls of eternal. The prodigal son, first thing he said, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned against you and God. Can I tell you, if you don't already know, how awesome our God is? Yeah. And there's no limitations of God in forgiveness and of grace and of mercy. If we seek Him, the Bible says, we shall be what? Found of Him. If we could dare to believe God, and any service can be a miracle service. Wednesday night can be an absolutely miracle service. If we desire to believe, we can have revival like we've never known before. We can dare to believe God. There's no limit to what God can accomplish and what He can do. Where two or three gather together, He's there in the midst of us. But we're two or three agreed together, He said His Father would do it. Isn't this a carpenter's son? Is not his mother's name Mary and his brother's James? You know, you realize how big a family that Jesus had of siblings? He had quite a few sisters and brothers. But he had no earthly father. This is just another Wednesday night service. This is just another Sunday morning church service. Who's limiting God? If you're sick, you can walk out healed tonight. If you came in burdened, you can leave here unburdened. If you came in here sad tonight, you can leave joyfully. Yeah? The greatest limits we put that God has, and sometimes we put limits on it. We start making excuses why he couldn't, or it's impossible for God. But I read back in the Bible, the Word of God is, nothing's impossible. But if we let God be God and let the supernatural walk into our churches, nobody, I'm going to say it again, nobody can hold a candle to this church, to this congregation. Why? Because you know him. And you know and you sense when he's in the midst of you. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost power. Just isn't on Sunday thrill. Not just on a special revival night. It's when we get connected with the supernatural. If I walk in there and says, anything can happen on a Wednesday night. Anything can happen on a Saturday prayer meeting. Anything can happen on a Sunday morning. I want to be where the fire is burning. I want to be where the church is ablaze with the Holy Ghost. I want to be in the supernatural. People are healed. People are saved. Marriages put back together. Hope comes to the hopeless, and God is able, if we still let him, be God. Amen. The unbelief in those people in that village was nothing more than their insistence on the ordinary. Aren't you still supposed to be little Jesus? Aren't you still supposed to be the little boy running down the dusty road? Aren't you still the little boy following after his daddy with the carpenter toolbox? Well, isn't that the church we've been going to for 20 years, about the same thing every time we go to church? You give me a present, I'm going to pick it up and rattle it because I want to know what's in it. Come on. I picked that box up, kind of rattled a little bit. Is it M&M's in there? Is it M&M peanuts in there? M&M peanuts in there? He could do but little. Church, come on. Let's not put any limitations on God. He did a little, but he's going to do a little because of what? Unbelief. You say, well, I don't have unbelief. By your actions, by your very movements, by your very words you speak. And I want to take it off. I want to say, God, there's no limitations to you. All things are possible to them that believe. I believe God has still got great things. God is doing great things. He's not getting ready. He's been ready for about 2,000 years. He's always present. He's as near as the mention of his name. Come on. In your tongue is life and death. Positive for negative. Hopefully or discouraged. God's limited by his word. With some limitations there, but when it comes to faith, there is no limitations to God. None whatsoever. And devil is not equal with God. The Bible may call him the God of the air, but he is slated for defeat. In fact, he was defeated. I said every once in a while, devil, you were defeated. at the cross of Calvary and an empty tomb.